And now it's time for the Wildside News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Okay, so finish up those taxes, get them in the mail, and then take a break, a tax break, and celebrate the end of another fiscal cycle with a journey back to nature. Next week is National Park Week, and you just help support our national parks with your tax donation to our national budget. They belong to you. So when we return, we give you some ideas on how to enjoy your national parks here on your Voice of the Earth, the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Tax time. I always wonder how many of my regular listeners won't find the time this time to tune in. It makes me think that maybe next year I'll dedicate my tax time show to nothing but soothing music. It would be a tax tune-in. I'm done. I actually got my taxes in a week ago. So for any of you still burning the midnight oil, realize this too shall pass. And speaking of oil, what do you think about these new gasoline prices? I keep hearing about the average price being above $2 per gallon. Hey, living in San Diego, I'd welcome a return to those high gas prices, those new high gas prices, as I see nothing but $2.48, $2.53 per gallon. It's an interesting time indeed as the world tries to see what the future really will be. Truth is, I don't think we really know. Modernization, globalization, call it what you will, is putting strains on our capacity to manage it all. There's no place for micromanagers any longer. We are all becoming a world of macromanagers. Today, we try to offer a balance. Following the news, we start out with a quick exploration of the upcoming National Parks Week, and then tell you how you may become a volunteer in a national park. Did you know that over 140,000 people do that every year? Then, in segment 2, we talk with a producer of a wonderful series that's been running on PBS, which has analyzed our global condition from a variety of perspectives. Journey to Planet Earth is in its final 2 weeks. We talk with the show's producer, Hal Weiner, who has traveled the world to tell this story and hear his thoughts on the future of Planet Earth based on this incredible undertaking to create Journey to Planet Earth. Then, in our final segment, we bring you an update on the Great Yosemite National Park Redevelopment Project, as we talk with Park Ranger Adrian Freeman about their upcoming dedication and what you can look forward to during your next visit to the Shrine to the Magnificent. So, let's get started. And first, the news. The House continues its debate over the energy bill, which is being promoted by the administration. The bill provides billions of dollars in tax advantages to promote expanding oil and gas leases and includes a controversial provision which gives the federal government the final say on natural gas leases, overriding local and state opposition. It also includes a provision which removes all liability from oil refineries which have incorporated the toxic chemical MTBE into their mix. With the stripping of the ANWR provision, the energy bill has a high chance of passing. Think oil prices are high now? Wait till you hear what major world economists are saying. Economists from the International Monetary Fund conclude that with the current demands on a dwindling supply of oil, prices could easily reach $80 and even $100 per barrel, but that such would only minimally impact the strong global economy. A contrasting view is offered by European Central Bank President Jean-Claude Trichet, who referred to the effects as oil shock. A news story appeared recently on MSNBC with a powerful graphic showing a pizza, with pieces disappearing as the price of oil takes away our discretionary pizza money. The Wildside News, meanwhile, reports that there is a galling lack of serious discussion of the impacts rising oil prices will have in the very near future on the economic strength of most Americans and thus the overall U.S. economy. And in news from around the world, the deadly Ebola virus is taking a very serious toll on the gorilla and chimpanzee population in the world's largest preserve, the Odzala National Park in the Republic of the Congo. Recent studies suggest that as much as 20-30% of the population has died in the last 10 years. This translates into tens of thousands of animals. The situation poses a critical challenge to the survival of these species. Attempts to block the spread include development of a vaccine, which could take a minimum of 2 to 3 years, and removing fallen trees that span rivers used by gorillas and chimps to cross, as they fear crossing open water. The challenges of globalization are reaching critical mass. Amazingly, in a somewhat related story, scientists in Japan are proposing bringing back the woolly mammoth following the sensation generated by a display of a frozen woolly mammoth at the 2005 World Exposition in Japan. Scientists pose the possibility of collecting sperm from an as yet undiscovered frozen woolly mammoth in Siberia, injecting it into a female elephant and attempting to create a hybrid elephant-mammoth cross. If successful, an offspring that would be 88% pure mammoth could be created within 50 years. Other researchers question the ethics of such a plan, as the creature would be developed strictly as a showpiece, as no natural habitat remains on the Earth. But the Japanese scientists agree that this is precisely their intention, and to in fact develop a public sanctuary demonstration project for the newly created beasts. No matter how you look at it, it is a mammoth undertaking. And to push this just a step closer to the edge, paleontologists at North Carolina State University are excited about a recent discovery of a T-Rex that preserved soft tissues. The discovery was made somewhat by accident, as the unearthing was done in a remote area requiring all access to be made by helicopter. The common practice of encasing significant portions of the bones in plaster made the capsule too heavy for liftoff, so a leg bone was re-exposed and broken to make a smaller package, and voila! This is the first example of soft tissue remains from a dinosaur. As yet, no plans are being made to try to clone the animal. And that's the news. And now a few announcements. Take a stroll into the archives. It is one of the most complete collections of Earth-friendly topics anywhere in the world. It's a great place to invite any of your friends to visit if they need a deeper understanding of the wonders of our planet. This is Your Voice of the Earth. Now, here's a great idea just for you. Looking for a little adventure, something new, a chance to get away, and do something exciting and meet a lot of great new people? All of us need regular chances to get out and enjoy our natural world. And thanks to the wisdom of our earlier generations, we have the opportunity to celebrate our national park system. This might be a great time to visit a national park, particularly during National Park Week. To learn more about that, I talked with a spokesperson for National Park Week about how you can find out what's happening in your neck of the woods.
We're talking with Shannon Stone, who works in the Partnership Office out of Washington, D.C., for the National Park Service. Shannon, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Thank you for having me.
Now, this is National Park Week. What is National Park Week?
National Park Week actually started in about 1991, and it was developed out of a National Park Week proclamation, which is signed by the president. It just designates a week for America to celebrate their national parks.
Well, I'm all for that. I think it's one of the most valuable resources that we have, and certainly a tribute to the wisdom of the American system to preserve these national parks, and we work on that all the time. Well, there's some interesting things happening. Why don't you give us an idea of some of the activities happening around the nation in our national parks?
This year's National Park Week is April 18th to the 24th, and this year's theme is National Parks, America's Gift to the World. And we have various events going on throughout the country. For example, in Ohio, at the Cuyahoga Valley National Park, there's a run and a walk and a cleanup event on April 23rd. In Texas at Chamizal National Memorial, there's a walk and a kite flying contest on April 23rd. And at Rock Creek Parkway here in Washington, D.C., there's an Earth Day event and a hike on April 24th.
Do you have a favorite that you think is kind of interesting?
I think the one in Ohio at Cuyahoga Valley National Park. It sounds like a neat event.
That's a great park. It really is a very diverse park, which actually is very new to the National Park System. It follows the Cuyahoga River and has the railroad and a series of restored buildings and historical buildings and lots going on there. That's
they have a big education center, so there's definitely a lot of education activities going on as well.
Now, if people wish to find out more about what's happening, what's the best way for them to do so?
They can access the National Park Week website, which is located at www.nps.gov/NPWEEK, National Park Week.
Now, another aspect of the National Park Week is the March for Parks. People have an opportunity to do what?
March for Parks is an event that any national, local, or state park can hold, an event either to celebrate their park or do a fundraising event. In past years, people have done trail repairs. They've done raised money to do, like, bilingual guides for the parks or park cleanups. And it can be held anywhere, anytime during National Park Week or sometimes anytime in the springtime. It's a great event. A lot of schools and community members come together to celebrate their parks.
Now, is that also included on the National Park Week
webpage? Yes, there's a March for Parks page right off the National Park Week website.
Why don't you give us that website again?
Sure. It's www.nps.gov/NPWEEK.
I hope we have millions and millions of people out in our national parks this upcoming week to help celebrate the wonder of our national park system. Shannon Stone, thank you so much for adding your voice to the Wildside News.
Thank you.
Sound like fun? Well, I'm just about to tell you how you can add some real excitement, explore your interests, and surround yourself in some of the world's most spectacular natural wonders. You, yes, you, can become a volunteer in our national parks. We took an excursion out to Washington, D.C. to learn more.
Next week is National Park Week, and it's a great time to really think about our national parks and all of the extraordinary wonders that are available. There's lots of ways to enjoy parks. So certainly you can do day use. You can actually work in parks. You can also do extended backcountry treks and camp and everything else. But there's another way to enjoy our national parks that a lot of people are aware of, and that is to volunteer. And there's quite an active program to encourage people to volunteer in parks, and we're talking with Joy Peachman, who is the director of the National Parks Volunteer Program. Joy, welcome to the Wildside News.
Yes, hi, thank you.
What kind of opportunities might people think about when they think about volunteering in the National Park Service?
There are numerous opportunities, as varied as the national parks are themselves, and there's many things that people can do. They can give tours, they can clean trails, they can scan photographs into image archives, they can do all kinds of things, beach patrol, bike patrol, horse patrol. So there's many different things that are available.
If people, let's say, were interested in volunteering in a park in their own region, which they might be able to do throughout the year, what would be a good way for them to find out what's available?
The best way to find out which parks are in one's area is to go to nps.gov. and to visit the various park sites that are on the website.
It is kind of interesting. When you go there, you can literally choose a park and see what volunteer opportunities are available. In some cases, they say to just contact a park. And, of course, you can find out that information then by going to that park, and there's phone numbers and email information available. In some cases, they actually list things that people can be doing, the types of volunteers that they'll be looking for.
Go to www.nps.gov. and you click on Parks and Recreation, that will take you to the park profile pages. So you can view the parks by alphabetical listing, you can view them by geographic search. Once someone finds a park in their area, then, as you said, they can click on the volunteer link, which will list specific volunteer opportunities for that particular site. They can also go to www.volunteer.gov/gov. And that will provide a listing of all volunteer opportunities, not only with the National Park Service, but also with the other land management agencies. All applications, whether you're in the National Park Service web pages looking through the opportunities listed there, or you're in volunteer.gov, all of the applications go through the same process. So they will go directly to the park in which someone might be interested in volunteering.
when a person volunteers in a park, I imagine there's lots of different styles of relationships that a person can have. For example, there may be people who can do sort of day use, I mean, those come in for a day on a regular basis, but there's also more extended versions of volunteering. Why don't you talk about some of those opportunities?
Yes, the majority of our volunteer opportunities are still more long-term. However, we are attempting at this point to create more episodic opportunities, such as, you know, one day clean up, those sorts of things, because there are a lot of people that aren't able to commit to a lot of time to volunteer but would still like to volunteer, so they could come on a Saturday when there's a large beach cleanup or something like that, or they can apply to these opportunities that are online, which are more long term. You know, we have people that come in once a week, or, you know, we have some volunteers that volunteer every day for years and years. So again, that will vary depending on the site and depending on what type of position and what type of job they will be doing.
Now, some people actually end up staying in a park as a volunteer.
Correct.
What type of an arrangement is that?
Well, some parks offer various forms of park housing, and that could be anything from, you know, a trailer pad where one, you know, may be serving as a campground host and they would be able to hook up with their RV. Some may offer a campsite. Others may have a house or an apartment of some sort. So, again, that varies. And normally the opportunities that are posted will mention whether housing is available.
Are stipends available in some cases?
No, no stipends. The volunteer program reimburses for incidental or out-of-pocket expenses. So the types of things that someone would be reimbursed for would be uniform, transportation, meals, that sort of thing. However, they may be reimbursed. It's not always guaranteed. It depends on the park, and it depends on how they reimburse. They might just be reimbursed a flat amount per day, maybe $6 a day, for example, or they may have to provide receipts for various things that would be associated with performing their duties.
Right, and that's something to clear with a park manager or whoever's coordinating that project before you go there, to just make sure you understand all the all the details.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I talked with someone over at Yosemite, and they have some people who are volunteering to do programs. That sounds exciting. Is that somewhat common?
Yes. The majority of our volunteers are in the Division of Interpretation, and I can give you a figure for FY04.
Well, I think the number that I saw was 140,000 volunteers total in
that 2000. Yes, that's the total for FY04. And interpretation, out of 5 million hours, for interpretation we had 1,976,000 hours, which comes out to 39% of the total number of hours contributed by volunteers in FY04. So interpretation still stands out as the leader in volunteer opportunities in the parks. However, all the other divisions within the National Park Service also have volunteer programs. And the two other categories with large numbers of volunteer hours that are runners-up to interpretation are maintenance, which is at 19%, and natural resource management, which is at also at 19%. So those are the three largest categories by far of any of the other categories in which volunteers contribute.
I think the most exciting parts about volunteering is that in many cases you're going to go through some professional preparation and training, because as a person who is representing the parks, you really have to reinforce all that the National Park System really offers. Talk a little bit about what types of training they may be experiencing.
Again, depending on the type of position that one may be placed in, they will receive training that will introduce them to the park itself. They will receive safety training. They may receive training in interpretation and, you know, maybe the history of the story of the site itself. But again, that's going to vary from park to park.
Now, also, the National Park Service is expanding their artist in residency program. That's very exciting. People can find out more about that by going to the website, going to the Volunteer in Parks program on the National Park Service website, and look for artists in residence. And I'm really thrilled, because at this point there must be about 20, 25 parks that offer an artist in residency program. And of course that varies, but talk about some of the opportunities there for artists.
Some of the different opportunities that we have for artists in the park include two-dimensional visual artists, photographers, sculptors, performers, writers, video and filmmakers, composers, and all different types of artisans, craft artists, many different types of projects that can be done within the national parks as far as artists are concerned. They would be in residency for a period of time, and the length of the residencies will vary depending on the park. Part of the requirement is to provide some type of program to the public with regard to the art project and, you know, interpretation.
In some cases, there are even cabins and the housing provided for an artist, or in other cases, it may be that you bring in your rig and they'll provide you a spot as well. That's really exciting stuff. Joy, I want to thank you so much for helping us understand better about the opportunities for volunteering in our national parks, and thank you for lending your voice to the Voice of the Earth here on the Wild Side News.
Well, thank you very much.
Always something amazing to do on good old planet Earth, or at least it is for most of us. But some of us may not be willing volunteers for what lies ahead. When we return, a journey into the future of planet Earth is told through the eyes of legendary film producer Hal Wiener. When your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News.